Greetings and welcome to another edition of Carl's Corner. I am your host, Carl Hauser. Hopefully this does find you well as we dive into the month of August. Of course, school right around the corner, the Minnesota State Fair, that is coming up as well. And we've got fall sports on the way. Exciting time of the year. Carl's Corner, a weekly podcast dropping in the latter stages Wednesday afternoons. You can find it at our website, fergusfallsjournal.com, or wherever you do find your favorite podcasts downloadable. And you can find all of our episodes on those platforms at our website as well. And of course, don't forget to get signed up for the weekly newsletter as well. Got a special guest joining us here today, and I figure, why not? Let's just jump right in. Excited to bring you this podcast here. Caught up with a local legend, if you will, and someone that is well known here in the Fergus Falls community, as well as the area. A very strong 40-plus years of working here in Fergus Falls. I consider him to be a good friend of mine, a mentor as well, and able to track him down for a little bit of time. It is, of course, none other than the living legend himself in Craig Olson, longtime radio personality here in Fergus Falls, a hardened Twins fan, a baseball lover. And Craig joined me to chat a little bit about his career and some other things going on, and just had a fantastic discussion. And with further ado, we are joined now by the Craig Olson. Well, obviously, a treat, Craig. You and I have discussed a lot before, but first off, want to thanks for joining me here on Carl's Corner podcast, your inaugural debut, and perhaps not your last. Nonetheless, how you been? How's the summer been?
You know, summer always goes too fast. You know that, Carl. But yeah. I'm always excited when we get to this time of year, because that means fall is right around the corner. And of course, in our business, covering high school and community college athletics, we get to see a lot of fun things once fall rolls around. So, yeah, you know, in another week or so, we'll see kids out practicing, getting ready for the season, and that kind of gets my blood flowing, even at my age.
Well, that's probably a good thing. Before we go any farther, obviously, not to get too somber, but, you know, a legend in our business passed away earlier, you know, here this month in Vin Scully. And I think if you're anyone in the sporting world, you knew who he was through his illustrious career and just some of the accolades and some of the what he saw over his 60-some years behind the mic, just unbelievable. And you really, when you talk about Vin Scully, you do talk about a legend of not just baseball, but sports.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, baseball is number one, and he's in the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster. And Vin called the World Series when he was 25 years old. Think of that, Carl.
25.
You know, I mean, that's amazing. And I think he called something like 25 World Series,
yep.
12 All-Star games, 20 no-hitters, 22 or something like that. Three perfect games. Broadcasters would love to call one perfect game. He
right.
did three. Of course, Sandy Koufax kind of helped out there, but I loved listening to Vin Scully, and thankfully, with the advent of Sirius XM radio, not that many years ago, I guess, but when I would get my new truck lease, I would make sure I had Sirius XM for the express purpose of being able to listen to not just Vin Scully, but to other hometown baseball announcers. I love listening to John Miller from mm-hmm. San Francisco and some of the guys that have been around for a long time, and I lived in Missouri for a few years and got used to Denny Matthews from the Royals. Now, Denny's still doing it, but maybe he shouldn't be. He's at that stage that all of us as announcers get to and have to recognize, I think, but they don't always. But, yeah, listening to Vin as a broadcaster just was just a treat. And I've got to tell you one story. I've been to some games at Dodger Stadium, mm-hmm. which is a great place, at Farmer John's Hot Dogs, Vin would say. But all the Dodger fans bring their radios to the game, and they want to hear Vin's description of what they're seeing, because Vin is Dodger baseball to them. Mm-hmm. They grew up with Vin. They love listening to Vin. He's so informative. He's a great storyteller, and he's very soothing as an announcer. But I was at a game on a Sunday afternoon, doubleheader with the Giants, great rivalry, of course. And I don't know, you're too young, but there was a catcher for San Francisco named John Tamargo. And John was on deck, and the out was recorded, and Tamargo starts walking to the plate for his at-bat. And you got all these radios, okay? So Vin says, "Here today, John Tamargo." Little take on the "here today, gone tomorrow" thing.
Yes.
And the chuckles and laughter through the stands. I'm sure Tamargo was going, "What's everybody laughing at? I'm walking to the plate." It's because Vin cracked one right there, cracked a joke, you know. And he just was so in touch with his fans and just made it feel like a family affair, I think, when you listen to the Dodgers.
I think for people of my generation, the storytelling, you know, recounting clear as day something that happened back in the early 60s or maybe right after the Dodgers had moved from Brooklyn out to L.A. and he remembers every detail. You know, if it was a father-son, the father played in Major League. Now the son, he knew the father. He had a story about almost everyone that he saw play baseball.
And he would weave that story together through a number of innings. So you would stay tuned in, if not to hear what's happening with the game, to hear the story. And Vin had just a great knack for doing that.
I heard someone comment, I think it was yesterday, they said that sometimes you would hope that guys would continue to foul balls off so he could continue telling a story that maybe he wasn't going to pursue into the next inning. But just one of those people that he was just an elite orator and an unbelievable storyteller. And as far as I know, never met him, but one of the most down-to-earth and most humble people. And, you know, 94 years old, lived a heck of a life, Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah.
And the fact, the admiration that he receives from people here in the U.S. and around the world, just unbelievable, and, you know, lived a fantastic life. Wow. And, you know, certainly will be missed. And, you know, there's only one Vin Scully.
There will never be another Vin. You're right. Mm. Yeah.
Now.
Yes.
What got you a few years ago, where did kind of the interest that led you into the world of broadcasting?
Well, I always tell people when I was not starting on the Detroit Lakes High School baseball team as a junior, I knew I wasn't going to make the Twins. So I thought, okay, what's the next best thing? And being a broadcaster would be it. That's not quite how it happened. But I've always had an interest in sports.
Sure.
And I always, for some reason, was drawn to radio. I had a transistor radio, and I would tune it in late at night. You could pull in KMOX in St. Louis.
Yep.
Cincinnati station, Chicago. I could pull all those stations in on that little 9-volt transistor radio, and I would lay in bed and listen to the Cardinals and the Giants or whoever I could get late at night. And I was, you know, kind of mesmerized at a young age. I suppose I was listening to Harry Carey at that time with the Cardinals.
Yep.
But and then Jack Buck. But that was just something I really liked. And then I checked out a book from the Garfield Elementary School Library called Cowboy at the Mic, which was the Kurt Gowdy story.
Sure.
And I read that, and the Kurt Gowdy in that book kind of really brought sports casting to the forefront for me and made it sound like, man, it's the next best thing to being an athlete is covering the athletes, you know. And so I think I was kind of enticed into the broadcasting business at a young age.
And of course, some family, questions. Well, your uncle, Oates LeGrand, obviously. Many people know Oates here in the Fergus Falls area. A little bit of, I wouldn't say, you know, some inspiration from the family.
Absolutely. I remember Oates coming to Brainerd, and I was in Brainerd through my 9th grade year. When Fergus Falls played Brainerd in basketball, we'd go to the game, and there was Oates sitting at midcourt on the floor, you know, right outside the lines, calling the game, sending it back to the listeners in Fergus Falls. And I remember telling him that you had the best seat in the house. He says, yeah, and I get paid to sit there. And I thought, well, that's a pretty good deal. So, yeah, I do remember that from Oates. And I've got to tell you, Oates was instrumental in me coming to Fergus Falls because we were moving back to the area from Utah in 1981. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of wondering, okay, where should we go? Where should we locate? Where should we look to move? And I thought, well, I'm going to go talk to Oates. He'll know of any openings around the area. He was 65. He was going to be 65 in September. Mm-hmm. And this would have been in July, probably, in 1981. So we went out, my wife and I, to visit Oates and Eunice, my aunt and uncle, and get the lowdown on radio in Minnesota. Where's there an opening? Where do you think I'd fit, you know? And I asked him, Oates, where do you know there's an opening in sports casting in the area? And he said, Fergus. And I said, Fergus, you're in Fergus. He said, yeah, but I'm retiring, except I still want to do games. I'm going to retire from everything else. They're going to need someone. You go talk to Bud Nornes. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll go talk to Bud Nornes. So I went and talked to Bud. And Bud and I had a great conversation. And next day I got a call and they offered me the job. And I've been here ever since. And I actually was Oates' boss for a few years. Not his boss, but I was assigning him games.
Sure.
Of course, I always ask, hey, Oates, is this one okay? You know, but working with Oates was a real treat for me, too, to be able to be right on the same broadcast team, really, as he was. We even rode together to some games that we were covering. So
we're chatting with Craig Olson here on Carl's Corner, and an absolute treat to snag him as kind of getting you, like we talked about or you mentioned earlier, just before the busy part really begins here. But, you know, the one thing that I always get a chuckle out of when talking about Oates, and I know there was, I believe, a Sports Illustrated story done on him, is his uniqueness to broadcast games and different parts, different areas. That's something that we still, you know, there's unique setups, if you will, I think, over the years, your experience. But that part of the job is having to adapt in those certain situations. And, you know, there are gymnasiums that you go to nowadays that are still, you know, from 40, 50 years ago that might not have a perfect setup. And you go to some schools where they've got plenty of room, and that's just kind of the experience. I'd have to imagine over the years you've seen a lot of crazy setups.
Oh, yes. There have been many, and sometimes you're sitting out in a driving rainstorm on a scaffolding in a small community trying to keep stats and broadcast the game, and you're thinking, why did I get into this business again? Because this isn't what I envisioned it, you know, sitting out in the rain there. But Oates had so many unique things where he would sit on top of a school bus in some areas, or in a tree at one point. He found a little place to sit in a tree because there was no press box and he wanted to be up off the ground, you know. And you just kind of make do. Detroit Lakes, when I started broadcasting in Detroit Lakes, they had the diving tower that they put in the lake every summer. Well, in the fall, when they pulled that out, that came to the football field, and that's where we sat to broadcast, on the second level of the diving tower, until they built their press box. You know, so there are some unique situations that you do deal with in setup. Thankfully, the indoor games are a little more consistent, but then you get, you know, the small gyms from the old schools, and there aren't too many of those around anymore, but I remember broadcasting at Hillcrest in their old gym. I mean, you probably played games up there in the HIT or something, you know? Well, there's no room on the sideline. You know, there's the sideline and the
wall.
The wall, exactly. And we would sit on the stage on that one sideline amongst the crowd because there wasn't a lot of seating either. So that was a unique setting before they got their new facility.
The other thing, too, with the world of broadcasting and with sports is the relationships that you build. And obviously, that's true in all facets of life. But a lot of it is you create these relationships, and sometimes it'll be a revolving door of coaches or athletic directors. But, you know, that's part of the gig, is creating those relationships, hopefully mostly positive, might help you down the road. But that's, you know, in this business, you have to be a bit of a people person.
Absolutely, yeah. If you don't like people, you shouldn't be in sports broadcasting, you know. But I've been so fortunate in Fergus Falls for many years. For just looking at Fergus High School, for example, I mean, there were coaches there who were there for many, many years, you know, starting with Don Stuvey and in football, Denny Hansen in girls basketball, Bob Bjorklund for over a decade. I worked with Bob in boys basketball, and it's just been you know, great to get to know these people. One of my best friends in Fergus Falls is Dave Retzlaff from the Spartans, who I spent many hours with on bus trips covering the Spartans for, well, 30 years with him coaching. And it's just, you're right, it's just a great opportunity to meet really good people. And I came away from that experience of getting to know those coaches that I mentioned and others that I haven't mentioned, just thinking like, hey, our kids are in pretty good hands when they're playing sports for these guys, you know, and that's so exciting to see these guys really have not only a passion for the sport they're coaching, but really the best interest of the kids involved too. And you get to know them at a personal level like that, and you see that in them. It's not just a job to them, something that they do for a living. It's something that they have a passion for, and for kids, for teaching kids, and lifelong lessons. It's more than teaching them the sport.
Yes.
And they do a great job. The majority of coaches do a great job.
So not just a broadcaster, Craig, but an entrepreneur as well. Obviously, CraigOlsonSports.com has, been around a little over two decades now, I believe, late 90s.
Starting the 24th year.
How did that get started?
Well, it was at a point where, you know, to be perfectly honest, there's not a lot of money in small market radio. Do you know that, Carl?
Yeah, okay. I know. Yes.
So we just got to a point where I had to do something to supplement the income or move somewhere. And we did not want to move.
Yep.
You know, it's one of those things. We moved to Fergus in 1981 and thought, oh, this would be a nice spot for a couple of years and we'll move on. Well, here we are 41 years later and right. We didn't move on because we like it here. Great place to raise your kids.
Yep.
So I decided that I was going to check this thing called the internet out. 1999 we're talking, okay? So the internet was, nobody knew what the internet was or what it would be.
Right.
So I'd heard about it and learned a little bit about it, but technically I'm not really sound. But I did some investigating and there were some businesses in town that had websites, which I thought, what's a website? You know, I tried to figure that out. So I went and talked to a dozen businesses and said, here's what I'm thinking. Since you're advertising on your website, I don't know how to get there. I don't know how many people know how to get there. I don't know if people know what the internet is. But I'm going to try to start an information, sports information website. So if you would come on with me for the first year as an experiment, you know, we'll see how this goes and we'll drive people to your business
yep.
website through our information. Because I was just learning how all this came together and how it worked. And thankfully, I had a pretty large number of them say, okay, we'll give it a try for a year contract. Well, I think I've got like 90% of those original businesses still on with me. So that was kind of out of necessity. And I remember sitting there typing up stories, and it was dial-up at the time. It was not...
Oh, yep.
You know. So I'd write a story, and I'd start to upload it. And 25 minutes later, I could upload another one. But thankfully, I had the Word document, so I could write stories while it was uploading.
Sure.
You know, but it was a long, tedious process. But it's been a real blessing. That has allowed us to stay in Fergus Falls and to do what I love to do, cover kids in sports and area teams, at a whole different level. Now, it has probably hurt me health-wise through the years because I'm an early riser. Because I'm on the radio early,
yep.
And I'm a late guy to sleep because I'm up typing stories till all hours. And that's probably not good for your body, but, you know, you do what you got to do, and I have a passion for that. So it's been a real blessing.
I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I remember when I was growing up playing sports, I remember going home and waiting. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, I knew you had to go home first,
right.
But would wait sometimes to see the write-up of the stories, whether it was for the game that I played or some of the area stories, that just one of the memories that I have while growing up. And, you know, obviously, one of your passions, having known you, is baseball.
Right.
And obviously, Minnesota Twins fan through and through, mm-hmm. born and raised. The one thing that I think is really unique and kind of touching back on Vin Scully is where the technology has developed over the last couple of decades to allow fans to be able to stay connected. You know, I have the MLB app where I can listen to games on my phone, and just, you know, the resources that are available now, even for us local people for doing games. Yeah. I mean, when you first started, I would have to imagine there were, you know, I remember you mentioning having to call coaches to, right. you know, get stats and whatnot. So with the growth of the internet and technology, mm-hmm. it has helped. But, you know, back a few years ago, not quite the same story.
And it was hit and miss with coaches, too. If you wanted information back then on their team, some would be really good at getting you stats and player rosters and all that. And you'd go pick it up at the school, or they'd send it in the mail, you know. Now, it's so readily available online through the high school league or through the various websites. School websites are getting better, of course, with information, but the high school league has gotten a lot better than it was initially. So, yeah, it's a lot easier to get that kind of info and prep material and all that for us broadcasters.
Now, here's the money question.
Yes.
After all these years, is there one specific game or event that just always kind of has stuck in your mind? It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have to be a state championship or whatever, but just one event.
I think there are three.
Okay.
I can't narrow it down. Okay.
That's fine.
The first one would have been 1984 against St. Cloud Tech in the region championship game, when Keith Pearson passed to Kevin, or to Tim Swenson in yep. the corner. I interviewed Kevin Swenson this morning. He's on my brain from the golfers. But, Keith Pearson hits Tim Swenson. He turns, hits the shot. Otters are region champs. They're going to state for the first time since 1957. So Bob Bjorklund, I interviewed Bob after that game for the coaches' show, because he was going to be gone. I had to do an interview for him for the next day. And we're sitting at the St. Cloud Tech gym at the end. And Bob comes out of the locker room. I waited for him. The gym was clear. Nobody was around except me. I'm doing the interview with Bob. So Bob sits down. And all of a sudden, he stands up, throws his maroon coat in the air, and lets out a yahoo. And that just about, I just about jumped out of my skin. Because Bob Bjorklund is a pretty reserved guy.
Yes.
You know? So that was kind of out of character for Bob, but it was like, he's pretty pumped about this. So that's one early memory of being an Otter broadcaster. But then the other two that stand out are the undefeated Spartan men's basketball team in 1998 and that championship game where they were down 15 points, came back, got to within two or three, and fell behind by 15 again, and then rallied to tie it and send it to overtime and win it. The championship, undefeated, 29-0, was an amazing, amazing game. I still have people tell me, yeah, we were listening to you, or we were watching it. We did TV on that also.
That's right.
So it was just a remarkable year and just a remarkable championship game and a very unlikely victory in the way it played out. And then the Lady Spartans in 2001, 3 years later, to beat a team that... they were giants. They had like three girls over 6'4" from New York, from the inner city. And we were rural kids. We had eight players and we weren't that healthy. There were injuries, but we were gutsy and determined. And you just had to look at Jessica Draper, the post player, who was all of 5'7", but led the world in rebounds that year, and she was the MVP of the tournament at 5'7", going in and mixing it up with these 6'4" girls because she wanted it more than they did. And it was just a remarkable, remarkable year, and Ann Williams and Dave Retzloff were great coaches, and what a great relationship with both of them through the years. And just one more thing. Okay, Ann Williams. If you ever sat in Ann Williams' office for very long at all and had a conversation with her, first you'd have to grab some M&Ms from her M&Ms dispenser that was there.
Yep.
It was for there for everyone. But if you ever sat with her for a while, inevitably, almost every time I was in there, the phone would ring, and it would be a former player. Coach, how you doing? What's going on? You know, one of her former players just connecting, keeping that contact with someone who was very important to them, and they knew that they were important to her by the way she treated them. So you're right, back to the relationship thing, you know. So, yeah, there you go. Those are the three that I remember most.
The three that we're choosing today.
Yes, I could have more.
And I believe, too, before or when you moved back here to Fergus, before that, you had some opportunities to cover some minor league baseball. Is that correct?
I had to cover AAA baseball for a year in Ogden, Utah.
Okay.
The Ogden A's, they were Oakland's AAA affiliate. We had Ricky Henderson for a month, almost a month. And he was the first interview, a second interview I did in Ogden, because we were featuring the players on the team, and we went started with the manager, who was Jose Pagan. And I still don't know what Jose said to my questions. He had broken English, and if you ever heard Tony Oliva, Tony sounds like a perfect English speaker compared to Jose Pagan. I couldn't understand Jose. Maybe he did that on purpose, because as a young broadcaster, you want to have some fun with me and all that. So Ricky, then I got to interview Ricky, and he was so humble and so nice and so kind of innocent, you know. And then to see what he became, it was like, well, I remember what Ricky was, not Ricky, you know. But yeah, that was an interesting experience, to say the least. It was a one-man deal. I mean, I did all the games by myself, and we only did the home games, which was the unfortunate thing. I would have loved to have traveled Pacific Coast League. They go to Hawaii. I would have loved to do that, you know. But, and we did do the games in Salt Lake City against the Gulls. But, yeah, that was an interesting experience. But you know one thing that it did, Carl, is it kind of soured me on professional sports and pursuing professional sports announcing. It just wasn't what I had hoped it would be. And it's probably more my fault than anything. It just wasn't me. And I enjoyed the experience. I loved doing the games, but all the other stuff, I couldn't see myself wanting to get into that. So that was the only year I did it, and that was all right.
I will admit, too, that there's certainly, in the broadcasting department, you have aspirations to possibly go to a certain level, and you start climbing that ladder. And you might get to a rung where you realize, you know, that maybe wasn't it's not really what I want to do now that I've gained a little bit of experience. And I think in sports journalism, broadcasting, what have you, communications in general, you certainly want to have aspirations. I think, you know, talk to any young, aspiring broadcaster. Yeah, they want to get to the big leagues. But we all kind of hit that point. You realize, you know, maybe this is my strength. And for me, too, it's especially going through the first couple of years of being in the broadcasting world was, you know, maybe high school sports, that's where I get the enjoyment out of it. I know, obviously, 41 years in, you know, and I tell people, too, there's times when I'm driving to games and I'm getting just as excited as if I was playing. And that's part of the fun.
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing that changes when you get older, Carl, you know, after a game, when I was your age, after a game, it would take me like 3 or 4 hours to wind down. I mean, your energy is so high, you know. Now it takes me about 10 minutes because I'm old and I'm tired, you know. But you're right. There's such an enthusiasm there in covering kids, the purest form of athletics, high school kids playing for the love of the game and for their school and for their community. It doesn't get any better than that. I mean, you did it. You did it at a high level. You enjoyed it. You played some good college football at Concordia, which was a good experience, I'm sure, too. But high school, it's hard to match that high school feeling and the relationships, isn't it?
That and the rivalries as well.
Yeah.
You know, here in Fergus, obviously, we've had fantastic rivalries over the years. The main three, Alec, D.L., Moorhead. I think any athlete that has came through Fergus Falls over the last 60, 70 years, they'll have a story playing one of those teams in some sport or one event or another. It seems like everyone, I remember when we, you know, beat Moorhead or the DL or Alec, everyone kind of has that memory.
Absolutely.
And that's fun too.
Yes, you're right.
Well, Craig, thanks for joining me here on Carl's Corner again, making his first appearance. And the fall season just around the corner, which I know both you and I are looking forward to, and M-State football as well. Looking forward to seeing after a very successful fall last year. Really looking forward to seeing what they have. But thanks for taking time out of your day. I know we could sit here for the rest of the afternoon and swap stories and talk about some of the fun games that we have been a part of. But I know, obviously, your induction into some of the Hall of Fames here in Fergus Falls, they speak for themselves. But appreciate the time, and we'll catch up down the road.
Well, I appreciate you asking me, and I'm so glad that you are in Fergus as a Fergus High School grad and feeding your stories and your information in the media here in Fergus Falls. Great to have you on with us as a radio broadcaster, and great to have you doing the journalism here at the Daily Journal. So keep up the good work.
We'll try it. It's good to be back here in Fergus. Once again, want to thank Craig for joining us here on Carl's Corner. Hopefully we might snag him down the road as well. And he and I could talk for a long time, talking about old games and whatnot, and fun perspective there. I will admit, not surprised those three games that he did choose to highlight. Some great history, and he has seen a lot. And we'll definitely have to snag him again and have a few more stories be told, and I know he has got a bunch of them. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Carl's Corner. Again, a weekly podcast that you can find at our website, fergusfallsjournal.com, or any other platform where you find your favorite podcast. Hopefully we are climbing those ranks, and we'll be back next Wednesday with another edition of Carl's Corner, brought to you by Daily Journal Media. Thanks for joining us. So long, and have a great week.